One show, one drink. We are back with you again, our fans and friends all across the podcast universe. How are we, boys, on the East Coast?
Living large, loving life. It's a joy. Nothing but a joy.
We are just fantastic. It is a banger of a week, is all I'm saying.
It's early in the week and we're drinking, so I don't know if that's good or bad.
Oh, by the way, by banger, I mean it's, you know, banging your head against the wall kind of week.
Now, before we get going, we're recording this episode of One Show, One Drink during Super Bowl week. And you two boys are in the throes of possible victory living in the greater Philadelphia area. Gentlemen, your thoughts.
My thoughts?
Before the game. Before the big game. What do you think?
I can never count Andy Reid out. He is a terrible big game manager. So I would expect him to blow this game for Kansas City. But he could just as soon somehow turn himself into a genius and mess everything up for us.
What do you think about his beard?
I can't say anything because my kids keep calling me Andy Reid. So maybe my beard has to go too.
Now, do we have a prediction?
I think the Eagles will win 31-21.
31-21?
31-21, huh? Are they plus 300? Is that what they are?
Let's say, sure, why not?
I don't even know what that means, but whatever.
I don't know what it means either, but it sounds like a thing. What is the NFL odds on FanDuel? They say, let's go. I don't understand how this means. Kansas City minus 110 on the spread. Spread's 1.5. The money line, Kansas City plus 104, Eagles minus 122. I don't know what all that means.
You bet $122 to win 100. That's what that means.
Ah, there you go.
So the plus you're getting odds, the minus you're given odds.
Got it.
So okay. You got to bet more to win 100. It's all to bet.
Somebody's
100,
a gambler.
100.
Somebody has a problem, I'd say.
I could stop anytime. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Well, you know what? Speaking of stopping, I'm not a quitter. Instead of stopping, why don't we start and I'll hit the little intro.
There's an intro?
There's an intro.
I'm going to run the intro. Ooh. And then we'll get into it.
I think it's with Jimmy the Greek and Phyllis George and
Brent Gumbel sports involved? I haven't seen Brent Gumbel.
It's the beginning of our CBS Sunday morning sports betting show. That's part of the podcast now.
No Howard Cosell?
Pastor. No,
John Cameron Swayze? How about John Cameron Swayze?
I don't know that he was big on betting football, but
I don't know. It's just fun to say. John Cameron Swayze. It's majestical. All right. I'm going to hit the play button. I'm hitting it.
Hit it. Hit the damn thing.
Welcome to One Show, One Drink, part of the What We Watch When We Drink podcast from the Booze Dancing Entertainment Network, where we take one show or film and pair it with one boozy beverage. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Audible, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can also find us on boozedancing.com. And if you have any questions, comments, show, or drink suggestions, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
We are back. Welcome to One Show, One Drink, the mini-sized version of the What We Watch When We Drink podcast on the Booze Dancing Entertainment Network. It's a kind of a simple recipe. We take one TV show or one movie, add one adult beverage, maybe some ice, maybe not, maybe some shaking, maybe not, mix, and voila, we have, what do we have?
Whatever this is.
A podcast?
Whatever this is.
We have a podcast. We have a show.
I have to immediately complain because, well, that's what I do. it appears there's more than one drink here.
There is.
I think you're
three drinks, one distillery, though.
I would say one show, one distillery, three drinks. Yes.
Well, they're the little bottles. If we stack them up, maybe it's one drink.
This is the mini version of the longer podcast. Sure. Yes.
So we've traveled all over the world on this show.
Oh, we have. My feet are tired. And boy, my arms are tired.
That's right. We've been to, we've been everywhere. We've been to Scotland. We've been to Ireland. We've been to
Israel.
We've been to Wales.
Wales.
Israel.
India.
California.
Virginia.
United States of America.
We've been all over the place. Yes, Canada.
Yes.
Canada. We went to Canada.
Great White North, yes. Where are we going tonight?
Tonight, we are going to a far-off land, New Zealand.
Whoa. Now, that's not down under, is it? Can we say down under?
I think it's under, down under.
Whoa, that's really down under. What are we going down under for?
We have a whiskey from our fine friends at Impex Beverages from New Zealand. It's a New Zealand single malt whiskey. They sent us three samples. I don't know how to say it. Is it Pocono? Is it Pocino? Pocono?
I think there's a line over the O. Maybe it's a long O. Like
Pocono.
Pocono.
Pocono. Pocono. Okay.
Not unlike the Poconos near you.
Actually, I think it's very unlike the Poconos, but close.
So Pocono is the name of the distillery in New Zealand. Not a very old distillery, kind of new, and now coming to the United States.
So, you know, usually when we have a whiskey, we try to pair it with something that's either from the same country, usually the same country, because it's really tough to, there's not really a whole lot of whiskey in movies, I don't think. So I figured, why not watch a film that was made in New Zealand with a cast from New Zealand with a New Zealand director whom we are very familiar with, the great Taika Waititi. And the film is Hunt for the Wilder People.
Is it The Hunt or is it Hunt?
It's Hunt for the Wilder People.
Not to be confused for Hunt for Red October?
Correct.
No.
Just different?
But there is a connection.
There is a connection. There is a good connection. We'll get to that connection. We're going to get to that connection.
We'll get to that. We'll get to it. Okay, we'll get to it.
Circle back.
So before we get to the movie, let's start with some of this interesting new whiskey that's come into the States. Does anyone have any notes about the distillery itself?
I've got the Impex site up. I could read what they have to say about it.
Sure, let's do that.
Pocono New Zealand Single Malt Whiskey. In 2017, Pocono Whiskey was founded with a vision to put New Zealand on the map as a producer of single malt whiskey. It is the largest single malt distillery in the country. Today, the Pocono Whiskey Company handles all processing on site at a state-of-the-art distillery with maturation warehouses, filtration and bottling facilities, and a fully functional cooperage. Everything done here is driven by a goal to create one of the world's great single malts. Batch production, long fermentation, and slow distillation are just a few of the things that help make them different. As craft distillers, they are also able to focus on quality over quantity and on doing things their way, not the easy way. Using only pure volcanic spring water from the North Island distillery's surrounding volcanic hills and family farm barley from New Zealand's rich, fertile South Island, Pocono selects only the finest casks to mature their precious spirit, and the warm subtropical local climate accelerates its maturation and flavor development. All of this allows Pocono to produce single malt whiskey with exceptional body and flavor, whiskey that captures the pure spirit of Aotearoa, New Zealand. However you say that.
Easy for you to say.
It's a lot of vowels.
So our first one is the Pocono Origin Single Malt, 43%. Is there anything on the website there, Ange, about it specifically?
Pocono Origin celebrates our unique place in the world. Produced from the finest local barley and unrushed through fermentation and distillation to enhance body and flavor, we mature it only in first-fill bourbon casks. It is an incredibly... I'm going to stop there. I don't want to lead the witness.
Yeah, too many tasting notes, right?
Pump the brakes. Let me pump the brakes. Okay.
Brakes are pumped.
Did you pour?
Pour away.
Poured. I did not pour yet.
I've been nosing.
Oh, of course you have.
I'm nosy.
I just opened it up, and you know what? I got a nice scent immediately.
I got a whiff. Sure.
Immediately.
Are you ready for a ching ching?
Ooh. Yeah. Hold on a second. Give me 1 second here. Let me just put the lid back on here before I spill it and make a mess and, you know, ruin keyboards and all that stuff. So, all right, folks. Gentlemen.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Okay.
That was so close.
Not too bad. Not too bad. All right. It's really very sweet on the nose.
Malty.
I think it smells malty, a little grainy. Yeah.
Sweet, fragrant.
Biscuity.
Get a lot of vanilla.
Yeah.
Maybe a little pear.
Did you say it was first fill bourbon cask?
Yes. Yep. First fill bourbon cask. Yes.
I'm getting a little bit of the iced animal cracker smell here.
Oh, you're getting your iced animal cracker. What's that one? Iced animal what's your crackers. Favorite one? Lyle's golden syrup?
No golden syrup, just the iced animal crackers.
No golden syrup, okay.
Are we going in?
I'm going in.
Ooh. That's got some bite. That's hot.
A lot of bite.
That is shockingly hot. I mean, not in a bad way. That's not a complaint. I'm just saying it's got a bite to it.
Does the Impex site say 43% like the label says?
Yeah, it says 43%.
It's a little hotter.
And the website does too, huh?
The interesting thing is I didn't get any vapors on the nose.
No, and yet, not at all.
This has a little bit of a punch here. But more peppery? Is it the same peppery?
Peppery. Spicy, salty.
No, that's pretty good. That's different. It's not at all what I was expecting. Honestly, I didn't know what to expect.
Not that it tastes like rye, but it kind of has that, if it was 100% rye, it has that kind of mouthfeel to me.
Yeah.
You think?
Like it's spicy on the sides.
No, I'm not getting that. That's good. To me, it has like a single malt quality to it, to me. I mean, like a scotch. Like I'm trying to think, like what it would remind me of. Almost like something out of like Pendaren.
Oh, yeah. Like the Welsh guys. Yeah.
Or even the other one, the spirit of, was it Yorkshire?
Yeah. Yorkshire, yeah.
It had that kind of quality to it, you know? A little malty, like you said, you know? But like the nose was a little sweeter, but it's not that sweet on the palate.
No.
The second sip is, I think, way sweeter.
Yeah, it's nice though. I like it.
So we have got our first single malt from New Zealand on our palates. Let's talk our movie.
We didn't reveal yet, did we? We did not reveal the name of the title.
We did reveal.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, the Hunt for Wilder People. Hunt for the Wilder People. Correct. Okay.
During your nap. That's when we did it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
2016 movie from New Zealand. Ange, I think you have found a pretty good little write-up on what this movie's about.
It is an IMDb review by a Mr. D.H. Wong. Hunt for the Wilder People is a New Zealand film starring Sam Neill and directed by Taika Waititi of Eagle vs. Shark, Boy, the Movie, and Thor Ragnarok fame. Based on the book Wild Pork and Watercress by Barry Crump, its unique charm and humor, with an O-U, boosts the appeal of what would have been an otherwise generic bonding story. Ricky Baker, played by Julian Dennison, a juvenile delinquent, goes on the run from Child Protective Services in the New Zealand bush. Reluctantly joining Ricky is his surly foster uncle Hector, played by Sam Neill, who was forced to bond with his nephew while trying to find ways for them to survive in the wilderness. Eventually, a nationwide manhunt is launched by the police to swiftly bring the two of them to justice. Funny, poignant, and well cast, Hunt for the Wilder People revels in a unique, idyllic quirkiness that could have come only out of somewhere like New Zealand, which I said in the beginning. The film's dramatic moments always hit home and never feel like they were inserted merely for cheap emotional effect. The humor, which is very dry and tongue-in-cheek, frequently adds to the film's likability and unconventional tone. Newcomer Julian Dennison shines as Ricky Baker, a rebellious young boy with a heart of gold, and Sam Neill plays off him quite well as his irritable foster uncle. This guy gave it an 8 out of 10. I go a little higher. I go 9 out of 10.
Well, that's pretty high praise from you.
I really liked it. I've seen it a couple times. I saw it with my boy a couple years ago, and I don't know how we stumbled upon it. I think I saw it on one of the message boards talking about, you know, little cult movies to check
things
out.
Things to watch. Yep.
Yeah. So we gave it a shot. I'll admit, and I think you said the same thing when we talked about it a little bit, that you were a little bit hesitant at the beginning, but it eventually won you over.
Yes. I had not heard of this movie at all. So when you mentioned it as an option for us, I said, what the hell are you talking about? And pleasantly surprised. You know, it's basically a buddy movie. It's heartwarming. It's fun. It's energetic. It's sweet. You've got people you don't know, of course, except for one of the main characters. It's just like watching an independent film, which I guess it kind of is.
Isn't it? It is an independent film,
right?
Yeah.
Right. And I think it was primarily financed by the New Zealand government, right? It's not even independently financed. Right.
Right.
I don't know how well it would have done at the box office. I didn't see anything about that.
I got box office numbers here.
Go for it.
I don't even remember it coming out, to be honest.
I don't either. It would seem like it's one of those movies you find on Netflix, you know, just by chance.
Hey, guess where it was? Netflix.
Was that Netflix?
Just by chance.
Sponsor,
just by chance.
That's right. That's funny. So US and Canada box office was 5.2 million. Gross worldwide, 23.9.
Yeah, and that seems about right for this kind of movie, right? It's not...
A modest hit, yeah.
It really is sweet.
Yeah, like you said, it's a really nice movie. It starts off slow, it builds. Yeah, it gets a little silly at the end, but it's fun. You know, all of a sudden it's like Road Warrior.
Right.
which kind of comes out of nowhere.
The word quirky is definitely... should be in the title almost, because it is quirky. It fits the vibe that Taika Waititi is all about. He's a quirky writer. He's a quirky director. All of his things are in that vein. Yet there's always heart to all the stuff he does, whatever the show is. And you don't have to go too far with him to realize, yeah, I'm a silly guy, but there's a point to all this. And he tells a great story. and he makes you laugh and he makes you think. He's just enjoyable as a filmmaker, I think.
No, I would agree. I think he's got a development deal with FX. So he's doing a bunch of shows with them. And then, you know, he's got the Marvel angle with the two Thor movies with Ragnarok, which was really good.
I think it's funny he did What We Do in the Shadows as a movie. Then yes. This Hunt for the Wilder People. Then Thor Ragnarok. All the same genre. I can see. Yeah. I can see making. It's like they made the same movie over and over again.
It's his jam. All these, they're his jam.
And then you've got Jojo Rabbit, where he plays Hitler.
Yeah, Jojo Rabbit. That's right. Yeah.
And he does Jojo Rabbit, and then another Thor movie, and then Next Goal Wins, which is like, okay, these, again, they're not the same movies. What are you doing?
Yeah, you're trying to pigeonhole them. Why are you trying to pigeonhole them, Mike?
Focus.
What I love about this movie, I mean, I don't know if this is a cliche a bit, but movies that come from Australia and New Zealand tend to use the country almost as another character in the cast.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And the settings of this movie are just as big as the main characters are or as the bit players are. You cannot watch this without thinking of, oh my God, the bird that just flew by, or that big tree, or that big mountain, or the stream. It's the lake. Just ever present. Yeah, it's beautiful. The nature part of this is just, you know, you walk away from a scene thinking, I need to go to New Zealand in my life one time. I need to go there, right? It's like a travel far. Walk. It is very far. It's many hours away by car. Yes. Very, very far away.
Well, you know, if you travel by map, you won't have a problem.
That's true. Good point. Yes. That's true.
You need to travel by map. That's the way to do it.
It's really good.
That's another movie for another time.
That is another movie. Should we go to another whiskey real quick? And then we can go
Let's jump into the whiskey again. And then we can go back to talk about the cast and all that good stuff.
Yeah, go through the cast. Yeah.
All right. Yep. So, yeah, let's move on to a second whiskey.
Our second whiskey from Pocono is called Discovery. Another single malt and 43%. Ange, do you have the notes there on that one?
Yeah, I do. I
crash do. As he falls into a large lake in New Zealand.
Uh-huh.
Oops.
All right. No, I knocked over the bottle, but luckily it wasn't the one that was open. So, okay, so this is the Pocono Discovery. Pocono Discovery celebrates our unique place in the world. First, we carefully select parcels of stock, which have been fully matured in first fill bourbon, Oloroso, and Pedro Jimenez.
Jimenez.
Love it. Pedro Jimenez. We then lay these back down in cask to allow them to marry perfectly together. And I'll stop there. It's a rich and complex whiskey.
So it sounds like they're putting them in three different barrels, not finishing them.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? Is that the way it sounds? They're putting it together, and then they're like their finish is to take the three different barrels and kind of just blend them.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Is that what they're doing? Like. That's what it sounds like they're doing.
It sounds like it. Yeah. It does sound like that. Because it then allow them to marry perfectly together. I think that means at the end. Correct.
Oh.
Yep.
So, well, and I'm guessing because they're not terribly old whiskeys, they only started in 2017.
Yeah.
You don't really have time to take a first fill bourbon and then age it in an Oloroso or a Pedro Jimenez cask because.
Yeah.
You mean like 3 years old. Finish it and finish it again.
Yeah, we don't have 18 months to go and put this in something else. So,
so instead of a triple cask kind of thing, they'll just do all three and blend them together, let them rest.
I'm going to like a Solero system or something to go and put it together.
Okay. Yeah. I gotcha. All right. Shall we? Cheers. No cheers.
Cheers. No cheers.
Can you cheers too much? You can't cheers too much, can you?
Can't cheers too much. To your health.
Cheers, boys.
To your football team. There you go.
Well, you can smell the sherry.
Oh, big time.
This one. Now, see, and I don't know if it was because I read ahead, but I got a big hit of chocolate.
Huh. I didn't get the chocolate.
Yeah. I'm getting more like the stone fruity kind of stuff.
Oh, I get like, you get a lot of dark fruit on this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some cherries and some dark brown sugar. Mm. What do we think, Aaron? You're doing a lot of nose in there.
I know. It's funny. I don't get that chocolate thing at all, but I definitely get the sherry and kind of the vanilla notes a little bit. I think the Oloroso is going to be biggest in this. This is my. I'm betting. What's the money line on that?
+700.
-110. -110.
Damn.
-110.
That's two disparate lines. You know what it is? Because I'm like with MGM. I'm doing the MGM betting.
No, you're trying to move the money. That's what it is. You're trying to balance your book. You don't care whoever wins or loses. You need to make everybody lose. You want everybody to lose based on the money line.
Uh-huh. Sure. Let's then. Listen to him.
Well, that's what they do. They balance the book.
You know what we got here? We got a future sponsorship deal. He's a spokesman right there. He's a spokesman right there.
Balance the book.
Fantasy Whiskey Leagues.
That's right.
They were showing one of these on like Brian Gumbel's HBO show or one of those things where they were showing the guy in Vegas who would call up the biggest like offshore money guys he could get.
Wow.
And he'd say, if the game was 3 points, how much would you bet? If the game was 3.5 points, how much would you bet? If the game was 4 points, how much would you bet? Just to see what this guy thought, because whatever he did would move the money for everybody else.
Wow. That's big money.
And they're just trying to make sure everybody loses. It's 3.5 points, and congratulations, everyone lost. On the taste, it's not as peppery as the first. I guess the sherry has rounded it out. But I did get a little bit of chocolate, like a chocolate covered cherry kind of flavor to it.
This is all up front. This is like all up front. I'm not getting nothing from like the middle back.
No,
it's all up
front. First one I had it all on the sides.
Yeah,
this one's in the front.
Why does whiskey hit different areas of
your tongue? I don't know. I think it's because your tongue is built to sense different things at different places. This really is, I'm not even sure I see the connection between the two, but they're obviously made the same way except for the barreling.
Mm-hmm.
They feel very different. And this is really good. I really,
this is nice.
You know me, I'm not the big sherry.
Yeah, I'm surprised you like this.
But it's not overly sherry though, but it's not like, not super tannic.
No.
It's a little dry, but it's not like a big pucker.
It is not a sherry bomb, for sure.
Yeah, and it doesn't have that sherry finish.
And
so maybe that's why you like it too. Yeah,
I do like Oloroso finishes. If I had to pick, and I do like PX ones too, but I do like Oloroso. And this feels a little Oloroso-ish.
It's like a little bit oily too. It's a little bit oily, just a little bit, not a lot.
I also think it tastes a little bit older than probably it is.
Hmm.
And that might be the marrying of the casks and getting enough of the Oloroso sherry in there, which always seems to make it taste older.
They're both thin to me on the mouth, but this one's heavier than the first one.
Yeah.
It's good though.
It is nice. I like that. That's very good. All I could say is, no whiskey left behind. No whiskey left behind.
No. Right. Okay. And I'm going to say that all night long now.
Please don't.
Where were we? Okay, back to our movie. Hunt for the Wilder People. The 2016 movie from New Zealand. A fun, small little movie. We were going to talk a little bit, I think, on this little segment about the folks, the cast, who these people are. The big name, of course, the star of this movie is someone we're all familiar with. His name is Vasily. No, his name, of course, is known well to the American public, Sam Neill.
One ping only.
Wrong movie, Mike. Wrong movie.
Oh, sorry.
He plays Heck Wilder, Faulkner, who is the husband of the woman who wants to foster this child, Ricky Baker, and has to take responsibility for the boy after his wife suddenly passes away after like a day and a half of being in charge of the kid. And he becomes the surrogate dad, uncle to our friend Ricky Baker. Sam Neill, we can talk about Sam for a minute, cannot do anything wrong pretty much in my book. He is just a great actor of his generation. Probably doesn't get enough fanfare for what he has accomplished. He's been in so many wonderful roles over the years from very, very, very different kind of things. He plays comedy well. He plays drama well. What was the movie on the boat?
Dead Calm.
Dead Calm. Dead Calm.
Oh, that was good.
That was really good. It was a great movie with, I can't say that. Is that
Nicole Kidman? Sam Neill.
Nicole Kidman.
And Billy Zane.
Billy Zane.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty frightening, dramatic movie. And then you've got this. And he's in Hunt for October. He just does so much so well. And he's so welcoming as an actor. I think you feel very comfortable around him, watching him.
He's got a 50-year career.
Didn't you say earlier or before we came on?
He's 75 years old.
You know, he's, yeah, I'm sure he's got a 50. I'm surprised it's not a little longer. I'm surprised he's not a child actor.
The first time I ever saw him I don't remember if I saw it or not. I mean, we're talking years ago. He was in the second The Omen movie. Or the third. Oh, the third one?
Third Omen.
Third one. Yeah, the final conflict where he plays Damien. So yeah. Now I'm kind of curious to go back and see it.
And I remember him from A Cry in the Dark and then Dead Calm.
Oh, yeah.
And then The Piano, where he made movies like Piano. Bang, Bang, Bang. Yeah. Like all four of those movies are really good. I just want to know how he gets Sam out of Sir Nigel John Dermot Neal.
That's his real name? From?
There's no Samuel in there. He's working under an alias.
That's
his
funny.
Name is Nigel.
It's his acting name. Wow. Dead Calm was 1989.
Yeah.
That was before Red October.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah,
his list of movies is fairly, you know.
Hey, don't forget Jurassic Park.
Well, that's not counting the Jurassic Park movies, you know.
Yeah, that's a whole lifetime there.
You know, until you Google him, I didn't realize he was actually born in Ireland. You think he's an Australian or New Zealander, and you're like, wait, you were born in Ireland?
Yeah, he moved there when he was a kid or something, right? I think.
Yeah, he was born there. His dad was working there. Yeah.
Yeah, so he just brings such wonderful depth and comfort to all of his roles, even when they're not so nice, maybe it's a good term. And in this story too, he's a gruff old man.
He's our kind of guy.
He's us in 10 years. And
that's probably not good.
He lives in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. It doesn't really,
what do you mean in 10 years?
Translate well to us.
Speak for yourself, pal. I'm there. I got the beard and all.
He lives out in the middle of nowhere with his wife and doesn't want to be near people in the bush, in the hills, and doesn't really want things to change. And then, of course, this kid comes into their lives who doesn't really want to be there himself, this middle school age kid. And and all of a sudden, then he's forced into having to take care of him. He's just so Sam Neill. He's rugged. He's rough. He's a bushman. He has to become a father figure, and he is a survivalist, and he wants to do the right thing, and he ultimately does, and ultimately he becomes this the things that Ricky Baker wants from him, he becomes.
And needs.
And it's really beautiful, and it's really beautiful the way Sam Neill takes the character. It's great. It's the kind of movie that probably gets nominated for some Independent Spirit Award or one of those things, right? It doesn't get nominated for an Oscar.
You know what it gets? It gets the What We Watch When We Drink Must See Movie Award.
That's right. It does. And the certificate is in the mail.
Hey, maybe we can get some wine. Maybe Sam will send us some wine.
Oh, why would he send us wine?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe he'll send us some wine.
Oh, because we're so nice. Oh, greasing our palms with wine. Sure. We'll take it.
Yeah,
we'll take
it. Why not?
I just, he's just great. Now his wife who's just in the movie for a very short moment.
15 minutes, maybe.
She reminds me of Margot Martindale. She could do that same character, I think, in this kind of movie.
Yeah.
She's motherly. She's matronly. She really wants a child. She'll take any child, no matter what the background is. And she wants that kid in her life because she couldn't have her own kids for whatever reason.
He spits. He lights fires.
And she just wants that, whether it's a great dog or a great kid, she wants to be that mom. Mm. And it's so sweet of her. Her character is so sweet because this kid comes from a very troubled background and she doesn't care. She just wants to bring that kid into her life, even though her husband is not so fond of the idea. And then we've got the third.
And wait. She won the equivalent of the New Zealand Oscar for playing this role as best supporting actress.
She was fantastic. I thought she was great.
And she's native New Zealander, too. She is from
Rima Te Wiata.
Now, the other, I guess he'd be the other lead in this movie, would be our boy, Ricky Baker. Ricky is played by Julian Dennison. Now, another name I've never heard of. He is great. his whole schooling has been like in front of a television and movies, because he quotes gangster movies, he quotes rap records, and he just wants to be the rough kid on the block. And now he's being forced to live with his family, who he doesn't really want to be with, and he just wants to go rogue. He softens a bit because this woman passes away suddenly, and then he is forced to, over time, make friendship with Sam Neill's character, and they go off on this crazy chase across the country, across New Zealand, with authorities chasing him, child sheriffs is chasing them, locals chasing them, the country getting behind them, they're trying to get away, and all the while, our little boy Ricky Baker grows up a little bit, and grows closer to, learns how to live in the wild, and how to take care of himself a bit. He reminds me of a couple of the kids in Reservation Dogs.
Yes.
Through Cheese. And yes. Cheese is one. But I just meant in general that he's trying to figure himself out. Mm-hmm. And he's going through these big changes in his life. He wants to get away. He wants to be the big guy. But he really can't yet. He's not really ready yet.
Just remember, you know, you don't choose the skuck life. The skuck life chooses you.
This is true. That is his saying.
He was just great.
One of the great parts of this movie, he admits fully that he reads a lot. He likes to read. And the way he keeps calm, with he obviously has some anxiety issues. The way he calms himself is by writing a haiku. And there's various haikus in the movie that come out from his tongue and from his pen. And it's a really unique way of showing who this kid is a little bit.
Well, like I told you before we started up, like, you know, the first couple of times I watched it, I was just kind of focusing on the plot. So I didn't get a lot of the little jokes and all that. Right. And the last two times it's like, these little haikus. Oh, okay. You know, They're just really funny. They're really funny. Here's one. Here we go. Ricky Baker reciting a haiku he wrote. Kingy, you wanker, you arsehole. I hate you heaps. Please die soon. In pain.
Yes.
In pain.
When he counts them off in his fingers and the syllables.
This is great.
Yes.
And the thing is, Sam Neill's character is illiterate.
Right. Can't read.
He takes a liking to the haikus. He takes a big liking to Ricky and, you know, gets a feel for it.
It's a buddy movie, on the run movie, and both characters grow.
They reward the buddies. Sam Neill wins the best supporting actor, and Julian Dennison won best actor.
Excellent. That's
the New Zealand Awards.
Good for them.
That's so great. Again, the New Zealand equivalent of the Oscars, three of the four people nominated won. The fourth person is the social worker who's trying to track him down.
Oh, she's funny.
She
plays Paula. Paula, she's the one going after him. She was nominated also. And Taika won as director.
Awesome.
It was a really well-received movie.
The child services person, Rachel House, she's the one that brings the kid to the Faulkner's home to drop him off, and she knows he's a pain in the ass kid, but she gets the hell out of there as fast as she can, and then she sort of leads the military and the police.
It was
the
entire government. So ridiculous. It was so over the top.
Tracking him down. It's so over top, and it's so funny how she kind of takes on this, like, you know, commanding role of like spec ops and helicopters and and everyone else in this country. And
because that's what social workers are skilled at.
Pretty much. This is what they do. You know, when they're
no
when
child
they're
left
not,
behind.
Exactly.
No
she
child
speaks
left
in
behind.
Like government doublespeak and running this, you know, tactical operation. It's so funny. And her partner is funny as well. He's a cop, but he's not really a cop because he doesn't carry a gun. Mm-hmm. So great little troop of people together. And there's many along the way that on their travels, they meet three like Larry, Daryl, and Daryl out in the middle of nowhere who try to catch them, and they get past those guys. And then he meets a family with a beautiful girl who, our boy Ricky has a little shine for. So there's some adventures along the way. And we can't forget his dog. His dog.
Tupac,
the dog.
And Zag.
And yeah, Zag.
Well, by the way, Tupac was played by Tuss. And Zag was played by Finn.
Can't have enough canine actors, I say.
By the way, there has been a trend where there are some really, really unbelievably good, like, animal actors. Like, did you see The Old Man?
Yes. Oh, those guys are great.
Those dogs were spectacular. John yes. Wick 3, Halle Berry's yeah. dogs, spectacular. Yes. Yeah. The dog yeah. in the Banshees of Inisherin.
Oh, yeah, he's good, too.
And the donkey. And the donkey Jenny was fantastic, too.
Enough. Jenny does not get enough, but should be up for something. Ass of the year.
No, that's me.
Of every year.
Should we move on to our final Pocono?
Our final one drink.
The double bourbon single cask, which comes in at a lofty 56% ABV.
That's right. This is cask number 21-415. And I think someone said there were only a couple hundred bottles from this cask.
288.
Probably available for sale at a fine establishment retailer near you that does single cast work.
So no place that'll let us in, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
Once he said fine establishment, kind of.
That's it. Right. We're done. We're out. We're out. We're out, Fredo. We're out. We can only do mail order.
Mail order because they can't see your face.
Exactly. See, you understand.
Mail order, or if we meet out back by the dumpster. If we meet about the dumpster, we'll slide something in a paper bag.
In a paper bag.
And maybe
bag.
You can buy some speakers from the guy with the van.
All right, let me read a little bit about this. After a full maturation in a first-fill bourbon barrel, we decided to re-rack this single malt into a fresh first-fill bourbon barrel for 6 months.
6 months?
6 months. This unique technique has added incredible richness and depth to the whiskey. And I'll stop there.
What's the ABV?
56.
Because I'm not getting that on the nose.
No, not at all.
Are you? Did you get it?
No.
You didn't get any hit?
Did you get the waft?
No, I don't.
I'm not getting it.
I just got a big waft of vapor.
This reminds me of the first one.
Yeah.
Well, it's bourbon barrel again, right?
Just judging by the color, it's a little bit darker. I would think it was a little bit older.
Yeah, you're right. Well, it's in a, you know, it goes into that fresh barrel for 6 months. That's going to give you a lot of color.
Yeah.
It's funny. On the nose, not 56%.
The first hit. Now it calmed down a little bit.
Although I am getting a little bit of like a medicinal rubber quality to it. So maybe there is some heat to this.
We didn't clink, man. Protocols, baby.
Cheers.
Whoa.
What, you're out?
I'm going to mail mine in.
He's mailing his in. He's mailing his in. His was sent by Pony Express.
That?
It came from New Zealand.
Very good. DHL.
Wow. I'm sorry. I'm a little rocked here, but I'm sorry. I couldn't do the ding because that first sip was woo. Hey now.
Hey now. Hey now. Hey now, he says. Hey now.
Oh, it burns.
It burns?
Oh, my lips are dry. It's burning my lips.
So if we were doubting, because our samples.
It's 56%. It's 56%.
Our samples. Ooh. Our samples have a 46% label on them.
Oh, yeah. But this one.
Now, I'm glad we did a little research.
This one expands
everywhere. Yeah. Wow.
Yes.
This one
expands. Even a little bit of a finish. A little finish.
Mm.
I am glad we did a little research ahead of time and saw that this was supposed to be cask strength because I think we all had our head explode with 46 in our mind and then taking this first shot of this stuff because it is not 46%.
I was thinking this would be the middle one and we'd save the sherry one for the end. I'm glad we did.
You know what I just got?
No.
I just got like, you know, like when you have like a peach pie and the crust and there's that little bit of like the peach pie overflow and it gets a little bit like sticky and sweet on the edge. I just got that.
Yes. Yes.
I just got that.
Oh, that's a note. Okay. Now here goes number two.
The second one is a little softer because I'm waiting for it. Boy, that's a nice flavor. That's nice.
Oh, that's really good. I like that.
And again, the whole mouth, a little bit more mouthfeel to it. Still thin.
Again, like
still thin, but a little more
lemony, custardy.
That's nice.
Cinnamony.
Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah, and definitely more cinnamon than pepper. Where the first one was black pepper, this is more cinnamon than anything.
I don't get any vanilla. I don't get any of the malty notes that we had earlier.
No.
No, this has a lot of like really nice sweetness.
Yeah,
You know, and like those baking spices a little bit. Not heavy. But it's there.
It seems like there is more balance and much more age, even though it's 6 months more, or maybe more than, you know, not quite 6 months. I don't know with that second barreling, but it seems older.
With that fresh oak, you're gonna get that pow, right? And I think we're getting the pow from that fresh oak, which you can argue that can be a little bit a bit too much sometimes because it's just too astringent. You don't want to have a new oak for a short amount of time. or too long because it'll just be too much.
Yeah.
Short amount of time is better. If it was in this brand new oak for a long time, we probably would have our heads. Boom.
Eh.
Boom.
Boy, that's nice.
Mm. Oh, the third taste is actually.
Boy, that's good. Nice. I like that.
So for
that's good.
For a 5-year-old distillery.
That's not bad. They're on the right track.
It's pretty good work.
So we are back to our movie for a wrap up here. The Hunt for the Wilder People. I think we all fell in love with it. And I actually want to recommend this to my kids to watch as well as my wife.
Hey, Mike, I think this movie's family friendly, by the way.
Yeah, one of the few things you've actually picked out that's family friendly.
That's not true.
Of course, you also said Scarface was family friendly. So
no, I never said that. The Freshman was family friendly.
Yeah.
That's true.
Hunt for Red October is kind of family friendly.
Godfather 1 and 2, family friendly.
Sure. Well, no. That's family friendly.
You meant something totally different. Sorry.
Not so fun for the Barzini family, but
I misunderstood.
You misunderstood. That's what the problem is. You didn't understand what I was saying. You didn't understand.
I enjoyed this movie significantly. I will definitely recommend it. And it really shows New Zealand off wonderfully.
I think the humor is just great. I mean, I was just laughing my
the humor's great.
Laughing yeah. away just the whole time. You know, Rhys Darby with his little bit, you know, where he's just such a wackadoodle. You know, anti-government with the, you know, he put a colander on his head. Oh, so the man doesn't track you.
That's true, though. If you wear the colander, the man can't track you. That's true. You don't want the man tracking you.
Oh, no, you don't. Good. No, you don't. And he had a car. Don't forget they had a car.
That's right.
Truck.
That's right.
So it's just a really wonderful little movie, and it actually paired really well with this New Zealand whiskey we had tonight.
It's quirky. It's fun.
It is quirky and fun, and I think these whiskeys are kind of quirky and fun. Closing thoughts on our whiskeys and movie for tonight?
The whiskeys, I thought, were actually, they got progressively more interesting as we went along. So I think we put them in the right order.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have no complaints on any of them, but that extra 13% ABV really just opens it up even more.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
You know, that just kind of just brought a whole lot of fun to the table.
Just the wowzers.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just really, really good. The other two were great too, but that third one, really, really, I'd go back to that.
Okay. One show, one drink. Our one show tonight was Hunt for the Wilder People. And our one drink, which was really one distillery and three drinks, the Pocono New Zealand Single Malt, courtesy of our friends at Impex Beverages, Chris Udy and Sam Filmus, who kindly sent us some samples for us to go through. And we wonderfully put it together with a wonderful, cute little movie from New Zealand. It all paired well together. Great little evening, guys, on the Booze Dancing Entertainment Network. We've done it again. And now it's up to our fine editor to get this done, put it out into a digestible form for our growing public.
Good luck with that.
Is that what I do?
Is that what you do? That's what you do.
Digestible form?
Digestible form, because most of it's indigestible. It's
I hear industrial machinery just shredding things. I'm not sure what he's doing in his house.
You know what I call the editing room? I call it the abattoir.
Ah,
I thought you,
it's a bloodbath. Wow. You know, like in the movie house. When she like, well, I could do that too. But you know, like in the movie when she goes down and what she kills, she killed like a wild boar. She tackles that wild boar and stabs it with
a wild boar.
And she's all excited and she gets like blood on her face. Like, look at that, Ricky. That's what editing is like for me.
Wow. What's that? Showtime series, where he's a
Dexter
cop. Dexter, how did you do that? Dexter, where you put plastic up on all the walls and all the blood that spurts everywhere.
None of this is getting better. None of this is getting better.
No, it's not. Luckily,
there's
it's never
an auger.
Be,
there's a, you know, there's
an auger, right? None of this will be on the final podcast, so it doesn't matter.
Sure, it will.
Well, of course it will.
Even better. You know what it's like? It's like the final scene or close to the final scene in Fargo,
the wood chipper,
the leg is coming out of the wood chipper.
Buscemi's in the chipper.
That's what editing this podcast is like.
It's not good.
It's a bloody good time, as the Brits would say. It's a bloody good time.
Well, on that note, on this point of good time, when we come back in our next episode, we will find
the
out.
Eagles will have won the Super Bowl?
We will find out how our predictions came
31-21.
Out.
31-21. Eagles.
31-21 from Mike. And just those money line or something.
On the road.
Yeah, we'll be singing. Come on, Mike. You'll be singing in green.
E-A-G-L-E-S.
Eagles.
All right, gents. That's enough. That's enough.
It really is enough. So thank you, One Show, One Drink on the Booze Dancing Entertainment Network. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You know where to find us. See ya.
All right. Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
If you enjoy this show, please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Audible, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can also find us on boozedancing.com. And if you have any questions, comments, show, or drink suggestions, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Where's the music?
No, after. We just do our... Oh, my God. Are you new?
I'm new.
We've only done 60 of these.
I thought we did it different for the one.
No.
I like music.
You like music?
Okay, let's start.
Okay, here we go.
This is going to go on the end again. Don't bore the editor. Don't bore the editor. Bad things happen when you bore the editor.
All right. Okay, East Coast. That's way. Wait. Cold starts are hard.
This is going to be the Majestical podcast.
Welcome.
I don't think that's the Majestical podcast. This is the Majestical episode of One Show, One Drink.
Don't like the word.